Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But right now, let's go out the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You can find him on the Inside Shot Substack. You can find him on the Lockdown Cavs podcast. You can find him on the Odyssey Rewind feature. If you go to Afternoon Drive the last 2 days before today, he's Danny Cunningham, and he joins us now. Danny, what's going on?
Not much. How are you tonight, man?
We are doing very well, I guess. We got Browns news today to talk about. The Guardians lost, and that makes me depressed, but the Cavs didn't play. But we're sitting here and we're waiting. I think I'm more anxious at this point for the Cavs playoffs to actually start than I am for the NFL draft, because I'm ready for the NFL draft to be away. I'm ready to stop talking about it.
I had this conversation with Nick off air. I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before when I was filling in, as you mentioned, and just like, you know, I miss the old days of the NFL draft before social media, before there were so many mock drafts, before everybody could do a mock draft every single day, when it was just like, hey, we're all going to get together like the third Saturday in April, and we're going to sit on the couch and we're going to watch the draft for 5 hours and we're going to eat pizza and wings all day. And it was just the best. And now it's not the same. And I miss that.
Yeah, now we've been breaking it down for 3 months and analyzing every single word said from anybody across the country willing to say it. So yeah, I would say we're about exhausted off of that. But Danny, a good thing that we have Cavs to talk, and we have Cavs playoffs right around the corner. And speaking of right around the corner, tomorrow marks the eighth seed play-in game between the Hawks and the Heat. Very simply put, which one would you rather face if you're the Cavs?
I think if you're the Cavs, you would rather face Atlanta. And I know that probably sounds a little crazy considering the Hawks were the better regular season team. They finished 40-42. Five games better than the Miami Heat did. So I understand that aspect of it, but I just think that there's a little bit, and listen, to be clear here, neither one of these teams are capable of beating the Cavs in the first round. But I do think that the way the Cavs match up with Atlanta stylistically, and I wrote about this a little bit earlier today, I think that the Cavs need a little bit of a feel good start to the playoffs. And when I talk about that, I'm sort of talking about the 3-point shooting, because they built this incredible record. They started 50-10 in their first 60 games, partially because they were the best three-point shooting team in basketball. At that point, they were making 39.5% of their threes. And then in their final 22 games of the regular season, they went 14-8, which is fine. It's not obviously the same clip they were playing at before, and there's a lot that goes into it. But in those final 22 games, the Cavs were 21st in three-point percentage. Well, Atlanta does not defend the three-pointer very well. I also don't think that they are as physically imposing. And I think that defensively, they are far less creative than Miami is. And I think all of those things, because what I'm getting at here, Jake, is for the Cavs to win the title, they need to shoot the basketball as well as they shot the basketball for the first 4 months of the season, rather than what they did for the final 6 weeks. I think it's likely they're going to be the same team they were earlier in the season, rather than what they have been in March and April. But I think that having a good start to the postseason and getting to face a defense that does not defend the three-pointer well, that is not a top-10 defense the way Miami's is, would be a really nice way for them to start the season and get off on the right foot.
Danny, I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that, because I also was pounding the drum yesterday and have been pretty much for this whole week that I love the easiest possible matchup in the first round, and you could use the confidence builder. Being lockstep, it makes me happy to hear that I'm not going crazy here, that I need to see a dominant first round. It's essentially confidence. It's a confidence builder.
And I think there's something to be said, too, that, like, I think Cavs fans should be over the moon that the Orlando Magic won that first play-in game and they get the 7 seed and face Boston. Not because the Magic are going to beat Boston. They're not. But Orlando is one of the most physical teams in the Eastern Conference. Boston's going to win that series in probably, if I had to bet on it, 5 games. But those 5 games, like, the Celtics are going to come out of that series with some bruises. And then they're going to have to face either New York or Detroit, and they're going to win that series relatively quickly, but they're going to come out of it with some bruises. If you look at the Cavs' path, Atlanta, if it is the Hawks, not an overly physical team. I would expect the Pacers are going to beat the Bucks. That could go either way, but I would pick Indy. They're not an overly physical team. For aside from the 3-point stuff that I just talked about in terms of beating the Celtics, the other thing is health. And a lot of what – it's crazy. Like, we talk so much about how teams are built and how some guys are great players. And kind of at the end of the day, winning the NBA title can be about, well, who is healthier by the time June arrives? And I think that the Cavs' path is potentially setting up for them to be very healthy when they would get to a potential conference finals matchup against Boston. I think that's a really big deal.
No doubt. And Danny, we're talking about the first round, too. We're basically expecting this team to go from, like you said, it was the first 4 months you want to replicate that. The last 6 weeks have not been that. You're now having to go in, for lack of a better term, go and flip a switch and go from what seemed to be lackadaisical to now raise the intensity and get to playoff level. How realistic is it to expect the Cavs to be able to do that?
I think it's very realistic because I think a lot of what I don't think that the entire 6-week stretch or 22 games, you know, I don't know if it was exactly 6 weeks, but whatever. I don't think that can all be explained away by just, oh, the Cavs were tired. But I think they were. Like, I think that's part of it. When you factor in they didn't have back-to-back days off in Cleveland from essentially the start of February until the second to last week of the season, I think that is something that can be pretty draining for a team. And I do think when you look at the fact that, okay, well, let's take a look at some of the better games they played in that stretch. They had a game in Memphis where they had 2 days off. Now they spent those days in Nashville, but they had 2 days off before that game against the Grizzlies in, I think it was early March. And they just kind of, you know, they kind of just destroyed Memphis. And I understand that Memphis is not great. And there have been a lot of things that have gone wrong. The other game in Milwaukee, where they had 2 games off before playing the Bucks, and they hit a bunch of shots against the Bucks, and they, oh, it's like, yeah, this team is still dominant. I think having a week off is going to be really, really big for them, and they will scrimmage tomorrow, so they are trying to, you know, do that whole rest versus rust battle. But the fact that they were able to take at least a couple of days off between the end of the season Sunday and, you know, really for most of the key players, it's been about 10 days since they've played a meaningful basketball game. The fact that they can take this time and get fully healthy and be fresh again, I think is something that would be really good. Now, does this mean they're going to come out in game one on Sunday in the first quarter and look awesome? No, there might be a little bit of rust, but I think overall this will be a really good, it's a much needed break for this team.
I think that a lot of the conversation when we talk about pressure has gone from is it on Donovan Mitchell? Is it on Evan Mobley? Or is it on Evan Mobley? Is it on Darius Garland? Danny, when we look locally, in terms of local pressure from the fan base, is it the pressure?
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Pressure more on Darius Garland, given the way that he performed last season, his name was in trade rumors, or would you put it more on Jared Allen, given the way that his the fans reacted to his last two playoff appearances?
I think it's Darius Garland by a wide margin in that discussion. You know, and listen, both of those guys, I think, had awesome seasons. Darius didn't finish the season as strongly in terms of his final 6 weeks of it. I think Jared Allen earned a lot of respect, and rightfully so, for playing in all 82 games this year, for having the season that he had. I think he built up, you know, a lot of credit there, and I think he deserves it. And he's also not someone they're counting on nearly as much as they are Darius Garland. I think that matters in this conversation too. For the Cavs to get to where they want to go to, Darius Garland needs to be awesome. For the Cavs to get to what they want to go to, Jared Allen doesn't necessarily need to be great because they've got Evan Mobley there. And you can say the same thing about Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. But when you're talking about ball dominant players, you know, I just think that that matters a little bit more, especially when the shooting is such a big aspect of this team. And a big reason why the Cavs didn't shoot the ball that well is because Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, those two didn't shoot the ball all that well. There wasn't a ton of drop off from other guys. So I think that if you know, maybe there's a conversation between Darius and Evan as far as who there is more pressure on. But I think it's Darius personally.
Yeah, I would imagine that it feels like after last year's performance in the playoffs, after the last, you know, 6 weeks, whatever that span is after the All-Star break, it feels like a ton there. I also think one of the big questions surrounding this team, we're with Danny Cunningham here. I'm in the Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Inside Shot, Substack, Locked On Cavs, as well as The Fan. One of the big questions is sort of the rotations and how do you expect them to look in the playoffs. And Kenny sort of alluded to the fact that they're going to look very similar. Can we actually bank on them running 10 guys deep throughout the entirety of the playoffs the way that they did in the regular season?
The entirety of the playoffs, no. The first round, I think you can, but I think the entirety of the playoffs, like when you get to, and Kenny has made some comments too about the starting lineup that lead me to believe that when push comes to shove, by the time they get to a conference finals matchup against the Boston Celtics, I think they would be open to putting DeAndre Hunter in the starting lineup at that point in place of Max Strus, because I just think against that team in that matchup, you cannot afford to have the same start to a game that they had back on February 28th when they were down 25-3 in Boston in that game. But I think in the first round, he's going to play 10 guys, and maybe he plays 10 guys in game one, and there's a stretch of this game where it doesn't go very well, and you see somebody removed from the rotation. And then on Tuesday, they play 9 guys. And sort of in the NBA, as the series grows longer, the rotation grows shorter, right? Like, that is a pretty common thing. But I think the Cavs are going to start specifically this first series with basically the same rotation in terms of how many guys play as they did in the regular season. Now, I would expect Donovan Mitchell to be playing probably more than 31 minutes a game. Evan Mobley is going to play more than 30 minutes a game. Like, you should see the key guys have their minutes go up. But I still think that they're going to try and find minutes for everybody, at least early on in this series. And then it's going to be a feel thing from there on out. Like, maybe there are guys, if Milwaukee beats Indy, maybe there are guys that make more sense to play against the Milwaukee Bucks in that series than play against the Indiana Pacers. And I just think all that stuff is going to matter more the deeper you get into the postseason.
How much of an adjustment is there for Kenny Atkinson going from coaching this team in the regular season to coaching this team in the playoffs, given the fact that we've only seen him for 5 games in the playoffs and it didn't go so well with Brooklyn?
I don't think there should be much of an adjustment from him. I think that he has grown a lot as a coach since that time in Brooklyn, and I think he would tell you he's grown a lot as a coach since that time in Brooklyn. And you also have to remember what that first postseason team in Brooklyn was, where it was D'Angelo Russell was an all-star. Jared Allen was on that team. Caris LeVert was on that team. They lost to a Philadelphia 76ers team that was very heavy favorites. Like, the Nets were never going to win that series. They were a really nice, fun, young story, kind of the way the Detroit Pistons are this season in the NBA. I think Kenny has grown a lot since then. And I think the fact that since he left Brooklyn that he spent time around really good organizations and coaching staffs, being on staff with Tyronn Lue with the LA Clippers, being on staff with Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. I think those things really do matter when you talk about the evolution and development of Kenny as a head coach. So I don't think that he needs to change a whole ton from what he was in the regular season. Maybe it's tightening rotations here or there. Maybe it's being a little bit less experimental on the defensive side of the floor, where they're not playing so many different coverages, where they're more game plan specific type of things, as opposed to just, hey, it's a random Wednesday night in January, we're going to play a ton of zone tonight to see how it looks. Those things have to change, but I just don't think that as a coach, he needs to make much of an adjustment to who he is.
A lot of talk, and even in talking to you, Danny, it's not a no way a knock, but just the way that we talk about this team, it's a lot of Eastern Conference Finals when you match up with the Celtics. It's a lot less of an if. Should fans be punching their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals, or is there somebody along the way that you think could potentially give you some trouble?
I think if there's one team that could push the Cavs before the conference finals, it's the Pacers. I think the Pacers have played great basketball since getting off to a 10-15 start. Tyrese Halliburton has been awesome this year. Like, he's somebody that I would have probably on my third All-NBA team if I had a vote in the NBA awards annually. But that's the one team I look at, and too, they play a very unique style of basketball. And that is actually another reason that I maybe should have brought up earlier about why matching up with the Atlanta Hawks in the first round could be a good thing, because the Hawks play at a super fast pace, similar to what the Pacers play at. So that could be kind of a good preparation exercise of a first round series. But that's the team that I look at. Like, Milwaukee has the best player in the Eastern Conference in Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it sounds like Damian Lillard is going to be back sooner than later, but the Bucks can't defend the Cavs. Like, they just do not have the pieces to slow down what the Cavs do well. And conversely, the Cavs have the size to match up with Milwaukee and a really, really good Damian Lillard defender in Isaac Okoro. So I don't look at Milwaukee as a team that I take all that seriously to beat the Cavs. I think if there's one team in the East other than Boston that could push the Cavs, it's the Indiana Pacers. But even then, that is a series that the Cavs should win. If they don't win that series, something went wrong.
All right, Danny, I'll get you out of here on this. And an answer being beat the Boston Celtics is not a good one. The Cavs are finals bound if what?
The Cavs are finals bound if they shoot the basketball the same way that they did in the first 4 months of the season. If they are a 40% shooting team from three-point range in the playoffs, they will make the finals. And the other thing that they need to do, and this is not, I'm not saying beat the Boston Celtics, because obviously, but if they can do what they did in that final game in Boston that they played against the Celtics this year, go back and look at how many three-pointers the Celtics attempted in that game. I believe it was under 40. I believe it was one of the 6 or 7 fewest three-point attempts the Celtics had in the game. If they can limit how many threes, not how many threes the Celtics make, but rather how many threes the Celtics attempt, the Cavs will be in a really, really good spot at the end of May.
All right, Danny, I appreciate you setting aside the time, hopefully looking to talk to you across the Cavs playoffs and hopefully what is a deep playoff run. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, man. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Danny Cunningham, Inside Shot Substack, Locked On Cavs podcast as well, with us on The Fan. He was on the last 2 days with Nick. If you missed those shows, after today's show, Odyssey Rewind feature, you can go back and listen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.